Welcome to the Pumps and Systems Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Champlin, Managing Editor of Pumps and Systems Magazine. You can subscribe to this podcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and CastBox. Today we will speak with Kevin Clark, Vice President of Fluke Accelix, on the general concept of connected reliability to bring the high-level idea of industrial Internet of Things to the plant floor for working men and women charged with maintaining assets in plants and other facilities. The presenting sponsor of this episode is Sulzer. Sulzer specializes in pumping solution, services for rotating equipment, and separation, mixing, and application technology. Visit Sulzer.com. That's S-U-L-Z-E-R.com. Kevin Clark recently joined the Pumps and Systems Editorial Advisory Board and provided IoT Workforce Insight for our January 2018 State of the Industry issue. Kevin, how are you doing?
Doing great, Drew.
Thank you for joining us. We're going to talk today about the working man's industrial Internet of Things, IIoT. And to let everybody know, I didn't know what IIoT was when I first started this job about a year ago. And so many people maybe don't know that term quite as well, but I think if you're in the pump industry, you need to know that term. So we're going to talk about connected reliability as well. Kevin, just tell us about your background. How long have you been with Fluke Accelix, and just a little bit more about your career?
Sure. So I came on board with Fluke in 2016, so I'm somewhere around 2 years. Came on board to help work on strategy and how do we actually build out this connected reliability concept. And so I lead within the Fluke Accelix ecosystem, and I lead both in marketing and product development, sales, and just overall understanding of how Fluke applies in the connected reliability world. Prior to that, I spent about 30 years in maintenance and reliability, basically starting as a maintenance technician for about a decade. Went back, got some college behind me, and some might say that's where my career went south, but actually my career launched about that point. Been working my entire career to get out of maintenance, Drew.
Right.
And somehow, some way, I've managed to stay in it, and happy I did, because it, from an IoT perspective, it's a very exciting career.
Absolutely. Now, is this something that you're very passionate about? I guess you become passionate about that, or were you trying to get into something else, and you just kind of kept it just kept you drawn into this?
You know, it's like that grass is greener on the other side kind of thing. You know, as a maintenance, when you're working as a maintenance technician out there, sometimes you feel like you do a lot of things in the organization, but you don't get the credit for it. And so that was a little bit of the driver of why I felt like I needed to get to the other side. But what I've learned over the years is in the maintenance organization, we do an awful lot of things that that don't get recognition. But today, with the focus on asset and being a lot of asset-centric mindset as far as how do we maintain those assets, how do we improve the quality of our products and uptime of the equipment and that, maintenance is getting an awful lot of the credit these days, which is a great thing. But yeah, I worked hard, Drew, to get myself out of maintenance. Thought the other side on engineering would have been more applicable. But like I tell kids when I'm talking to them, either in a high school or in a college, pay attention to where your passion is. Pay attention to what things you enjoy in life, and find ways to make a career out of it.
Good deal. And when we get into this podcast, what is the thing you really want people to know? I mean, obviously you're teaching kids to follow their passion and all that, but as far as the actual technical aspects, what are the biggest things you want people to know?
Well, that the maintenance world is not as old school as what it seems. You know, we've been working for a lot of years in the maintenance organization to find ways to make maintenance sexy, and it ain't easy. But what we've found is connected reliability and the IoT together have really advanced the technology within maintenance. And so not only are we looking for people that have hands-on hands-on capability inside of maintenance. We also need those folks that cross over, that are mechanically minded and really strong on the side of how do we connect those devices, how do we build systems that begin to give us advanced knowledge of failures that are heading our way. So not only can we really focus in on the mechanical aspects, we can focus in on electrical aspects and the computer aspects and how do we build an environment that allows us to make decisions before failures happen.
When we get into connected reliability, Kevin, what does that mean?
Drew, connected reliability is something that's near and dear to our heart, and it's very close to the IIoT. And I guess if I had to define what connected reliability means, it's getting that data that's locked in someone's head, typically a maintenance or facilities technician, getting that data that's maybe lost, off in some filing cabinet someplace, or trying to get that data that might be trapped in a control system or in an asset deep inside. And so connected reliability starts to bring all those things together and bring them into one place so that we can actually create a rich environment for our technicians out on the floor.
Okay. Yeah, in this podcast, we're going to cover the use of connected reliability and to bring the high level of IIoT to the plant floor for working men and women charged with maintaining assets and plants and other facilities. First off, before we talk more about IIoT, what is IIoT?
Well, originally it started with IoT, and it's really evolving over the past 5 years or so. It's moved into more specific things like the industrial IoT, where we're connecting devices not just at the low levels, but at the highest levels, and really bringing that data together.
Okay, IoT, Internet of Things, industrial Internet of Things. How long has this topic been around? Just the letters, the IoT letters, and all that.
Well, that's to me, the IoT was founded by SCADA Systems, and SCADA is the Supervisor Control of Data Acquisition, which, has been around for probably 30 years, maybe more, when you get deeper into the older systems. But, the IoT, I think, I don't know exactly what year it was, but I would say it's been around at least 7 years. And within those 7 years, I've watched it evolve. I've watched it turn into less of a trend and more of a going forward term. And so IoT means more than just connecting devices these days. It means actually being competitive in this market and surviving as a manufacturer.
Kevin, what are some examples of IIoT?
So, sometimes we overlook the fact that we've been in IIoT for a long time. We can go back to our MES systems. So MES is our manufacturing execution systems. We can go back to SCADA, which we defined earlier as supervisory control and data acquisition. We've been connecting devices for a long time. So we can go back to our PLCs. We can go back to our data historians, where we've been bringing data together for a long time. What's really been missing in the industrial Internet of Things is the capability of doing something with that data once we've connected it. And so IoT has really driven that portion of it. And so when we look back, we've got data sitting all over the place that we've just never done anything with from an analytics standpoint and being able to predict those failures. So that things have been connected, we were just weren't able to complete the story, and that's what we're doing today.
Now a word from our presenting sponsor. You need your equipment to run reliably and efficiently at optimized cost. Sulzer offers the services that help you achieve this. Whether it is pumps, turbines, compressors, motors, or generators, Sulzer has the expertise to help you to run your machines at the highest efficiency. Visit Sulzer.com to help you discover your best solution. That's Sulzer.com. Back to the podcast with Kevin Clark. So can folks be using IoT devices without realizing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So anybody who's using a smartphone, anybody that is using a smartphone and a laptop, because those devices are connected to something else, or the software itself is connected to something else. Anytime that we have an ERP system, we've already started connecting things. So we might be connecting our maintenance system to an ERP. We might be connecting our mobile CMMS or EAM solution back to a CMMS system. We might be connecting our assets to our CMMS system. And so some of the things that you just don't realize, like just simple stuff like Fluke Connect and the Fluke devices being connected together, that is IoT. And so sometimes we've just gotten used to having things connected. And so that, I think that's why the IoT term just exploded, was because that's been the expectation. When you look at these younger generations coming on, you know, with the games that they play, with the devices that they have every day, they're expecting things to just be connected.
Right. And when you mentioned ERP and CMMS, can you explain those real quick for me?
So ERP is enterprise resource planning. So that's typically your financial system in the company. So anything that we connect to a financial system, especially when it gets to all the way down to the level of inventory and work orders and even asset data, being connected to an ERP is very applicable back to our maintenance organization. And I think the other one was CMMS, that's computerized maintenance management system. So that's typically what you're talking about when you're talking about a Maximo, an eMaint, or an N4, or an SAP PM. I just gave you a few more terms in there. So SAP PM is SAP's plant maintenance system.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for explaining that, Kevin. Getting back to connected reliability, how can connected reliability make maintenance easier?
So one of the things that Fluke has focused on over the years is, you know, they've been around for 70 years, and that's the really cool part about the history, is they've focused in on that technician. And so as an organization, as we grow into this digital world, our focus remains on the technician. So what we try to do is make the environment for them as rich as possible. So as we bring data together and we move it into a mobile environment for these technicians, they're able to do their jobs on the move. And so as a failure is coming into play, and so it's in advance of the actual failure itself, the technician sees that in advance, which allows them to take action ahead of the failure and deal with it directly on site without having to backtrack, without having to go back to their desk and work on their computer system, or go to inventory and try to figure out what inventory parts they need. All of that is right there for them, available, so that they have all that they need to go take care of the issue.
What are the primary assets that can be connected with connected reliability, Kevin?
Well, we all know that in the maintenance world, we have a plethora of assets to choose from, and what's a priority, what's critical in our particular facility. But I think the two that always stand out, that we know that in every facility we are going to connect those assets, and it's always going to be a motor, it's always going to be a pump. And the reason is those motors and those pumps tend to be some of the most critical assets, and they're also the assets that tend to be prone to failure. And so what we see is everywhere we go, our clients want to know what is the best practice for monitoring a motor and what is the best practice for monitoring a pump. And so we see an awful lot of that. So I would have to say if there's any primary assets located around the world that are the first ask, it's pumps and motors. And so we see that often.
Kevin, what are the requirements of a truly connected reliability strategy?
Well, sometimes some of the difficulties that we deal with out on the plant floor is that not everyone is utilizing the same technologies. And so what we like to refer to connecting the unconnectable, we see, I would say, way too often the unconnectable assets on the plant floor. And so what we've done is we've done it as well as the IoT is demanding it, that the unconnectable becomes connected. And so there are tools out there, including Fluke tools, that allow those assets to actually come to life after decades of no conversation with that asset. It's just been an asset that's run on the floor. It's going to be there for another 20 years. And so they're trying to figure out how to bring that data out of that asset and then do something actionable with it. And so what we've been able to do is actually begin to connect some of those assets. And it's actually a fun thing to watch with your maintenance technicians, that they've dealt with this asset for literally decades, and they've just repaired it and repaired it and repaired it and kept it up and running. But they've never really been able to predict. They've never really been able to see things coming as the failure is on its way. And so it's amazing to watch the technicians when they can all of a sudden see vibration data coming from that asset, or they can see the temperatures, they can see thermal images of a bearing that's beginning to overheat. And that data is telling them something that they always knew, but they just couldn't put their finger on it because they just didn't have the data to support that asset was beginning to fail. So that in itself is definitely something that we're gaining, and the excitement in the industry is evident, especially at the technician level.
Okay. What are some of the common pain points you see in the plants?
You know, some of the biggest things, one is education, really understanding what IoT and what connected reliability really means. The second one, and I'll talk about both of them, but the second one is understanding where they're at when it comes to the journey, and the journey being whether they're in a reactive state or if they're in a preventative state or a predictive state or even into prescriptive type maintenance. But really understanding where they're at in that journey, and some of the things to assist in the education of the clients out there is to help them understand where they are, and then be able to typically, and I mean this is generally, we see all clients have to step back just a little bit. And one of the things that we've done a poor job of over the decades is to really get a handle on what condition monitoring is. And all clients will tell you, I want to go to predictive maintenance. Well, more than just an important step in that process, it's an absolute. You must establish a condition monitoring platform. What are you going to do to collect that data? What are you going to do when you get that data? And then once you get that data, what are you going to do with it? And most clients, many clients, have missed that step and really established what condition monitoring looks like. So that's, to me, that's by far, between education and then understanding where they're at with condition monitoring, is the biggest issues that I see in every single facility. Backing them up so that they get a handle on condition monitoring is what lets these companies move forward quickly. Most of them get caught up in the idea of, you know, how do I get that data? And they're already in the motion of trying to get to a predictive state. So once we've got them understanding condition monitoring, then they're rapidly moving forward. So yeah, to me, that solves an awful big part of the problem, just that lack of understanding of where they're at in their journey and how to get to predictive.
Okay. What kind of teams should be considering connected reliability?
So, you know, this really goes across the board, because Reliability isn't just maintenance, and I want to make that very clear that we're not just dealing with maintenance here when it's reliability. It's the entire operations team, all the way into finance, and because reliability itself affects the entire organization. Reliability is a direct relation to safety. Reliability is a direct relation to quality. Is a direct relation to how we make products on the plant floor. And so connecting reliability really means everybody. And I think we've learned that over the years in programs like, and here I go again with acronyms, with programs like TPM, that's Total Productive Maintenance, and RCM, which is Reliability Centered Maintenance. And we've learned this through lean technologies. We've learned this through Six Sigma. All of these things go back to how reliable is your process, how reliable is your equipment, and how reliable is the staff that is performing all of these tasks. So from a reliability standpoint, it's across the board. So it is difficult to go back and say who needs connected reliability, because we all do. We all need to have that ability to go back and see all of the things that are impacting how reliable we are as an operation.
Okay. I guess maybe everybody has different, or every team has different first steps to be moving towards connected reliability. But what should their first steps be to moving toward connected reliability?
Yeah, I think it goes back to when we talk about, what are the biggest issues inside of a facility. It's the first steps would be to take a humble approach to reliability and actually step back. And most organizations, you can go from one site to the next, to the next, to the next, and every one of them is in a different place when it comes to their journey, their reliability journey. And so if an organization is looking at this enterprise-wide and they're saying, what can we do to move forward reliability, the first thing that ought to be done is step back and take a look at where we are across the entire organization and find the best practices in the organization, find those things, those low-hanging fruits of where success has been found within their reliability journey. So once they've been able to identify those things and identify their sources of data and the types of data that they want to bring back, that's when they can move forward, is really just getting an organized data set, organized understanding of where they want to go.
What are some misconceptions for what is required for reliability?
So basically, I think there's an awful lot of simplicity in the reliability world that a lot of people overlook, and in how we approach it. And so, I think you see organizations building a lot of complexity and their reliability solutions when essentially it all breaks down to how do I get my asset to perform where it was originally designed, and then how do I sustain that then over the years, considering all the aspects that I have to deal with, the bathtub curves and everything else that will have an impact on the life cycle of that asset. And the unfortunate part is a lot of clients are dealing with legacy assets, and we're looking to get as much condition data out of that asset as we possibly can. And a lot of organizations are putting a lot of money into their assets for reliability when there's a simpler way to look at it. They're putting a lot of money into those systems, very expensive systems, when what they really needed was just foundational data. Things like vibration and temperature and that, and what does that mean to that particular asset. And those are fundamental reliability engineering measurements.
Well, that should wrap this edition of the Pumps and Systems podcast up. Thank you so much, Kevin Clark, Vice President of Fluke Accelix, for coming on and sharing your knowledge about connected reliability and the working man's industrial Internet of Things.
Thanks, Drew. I appreciated the time as well.
That wraps up this edition of the Pumps and Systems Podcast. Thank you to Kevin Clark of Fluke Excellix for coming on and talking with us about connected reliability and the working man's industrial Internet of Things. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, Sulzer. Please subscribe to the Pumps and Systems Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, CastBox, SoundCloud, and more. And visit pumpsandsystems.com/podcast. Leave us a review and some feedback. Until next time, thank you for listening.